Thank you, ladies. If you have your Bibles, let's turn them to Luke chapter 6 this morning. Luke 6. Christ was a carpenter by trade. It means he knew building. He knew aspects of the building trade, so to speak. And that's what makes this metaphor really interesting this morning, because it wasn't just a metaphor that Christ spoke. He knew the inner workings of it, since he was a carpenter by trade. So if you're going to build a house by yourself, okay, what do? Well, you go on YouTube and you watch videos, right? You laugh, but I read a story about a single mom, a divorced mom. She had three or four kids. They built their home from the ground up watching YouTube videos. They did all the work themselves watching YouTube videos. The story did not say if it passed any kind of local building inspections or not, but they were living in the house that they built. There are, if you're building, there are some really important matters that you need to be aware of when you're building a house. And these things, these matters, apply to our lives as well as disciples. I should clarify, genuine disciples will take these matters to heart. Father in heaven, God, I need your help this morning as I present your truth. Help me to present it clearly in a way that we all can understand, and in a way that I don't hinder the Holy Spirit from speaking to people's hearts. God, I pray that in this room you would minimize distractions that would hinder the Holy Spirit from speaking to each person's heart individually. God, I pray for the listeners this morning that you would do a work in their mind, eliminating, minimizing the distractions in their mind, helping them to focus on your truth this morning. God, I pray for the listeners that they would intentionally choose to listen to your truths this morning, but then to also take those truths and examine themselves. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, it says, the Lord speaking, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's a good question right there, isn't it? It's one of those introductory comments that we generally read past in Scripture. But Jesus is saying, why are you calling me Lord? You don't do what I say. He goes on, verse 47, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Okay, here comes the metaphor. The person that comes to Jesus hears what he says, does what he says. This is who Jesus says he is like. "He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Now, this is critical. We have to know how to build. We have to know how to be disciples. Last Wednesday night, we've been spending time on Wednesday nights in our Bible study considering this thing called Christianity. And it's more than just a set of religious beliefs and showing up at church on Sunday. It is how we live our lives during the week. This last Wednesday night, we focused on how we live a Christian life in the home and what the home should look like. It certainly ties into things we're looking at this morning. Folks, we have to know how to be disciples. We have to hear, as Jesus said, and what's that next word? Obey, right? Learning more in order to do more in our Christian walk. Learning more to be more like Christ. That's the goal. Christ-likeness. A disciple. We just defined a disciple. A disciple, a student who's learning to be like the master. We have to select the right materials, if we're going to do that, the right materials for the foundation, because that's where any building begins. It is the foundation that determines the future of the house. Now, if you've ever bought houses before, maybe you've never bought a house, or you've only bought one and you're still living in it for the last 80 years or whatever, however long it's been, when you're shopping for a house, now, some people maybe will walk away from a house because, ew, the carpet, okay? Orange shag carpet. That's what was in our house when we bought the one we're in now. It was more like a rust color carpet. Now, I know at one time that was popular. And if you still have it in your home, I love you. I love your home, okay? That's fine. But some people will walk away from a house because of the color, okay? Everyone should walk away from a house when they go into the basement or the crawl space and they see the foundation cracked. That's not good. That's a bad sign, especially here in Taylorville with this thing called mine subsidence, okay? Run. Get away from that house. The foundation determines the future of the house. If the house that you live in, below the surface even, if the foundation is cracked, it's going to affect the future of the house that you are living in. And we have to decide that we are going to do this as disciples. James says this, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. As a disciple, we have to decide we are going to build with the right materials. We are going to build upon the right foundation that has the right materials. Because if we don't, it's going to affect the future of what we're building. We must decide that we're going to do that. We can't pick and choose. We can't decide and then go back on what we decided and bounce around. James describes that person like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, is what God tells us there. Now, every person, you have a house, a life to build. This is all individualized this morning, folks. You have a life to build, and how you build your life determines your destiny. It determines the rest of your life on this earth, and it also determines your eternity and what your eternity will be like. How you build your life makes all the difference between success and failure, between life and death, between reward and loss. Yes, even loss in eternity as a Christian. It makes all the difference between acceptance and rejection, standing and falling. There is only one foundation for every life, Jesus Christ. One sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. We're going to see this verse several times this morning. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It is on Christ that we are to build. And our church is to be built on. It is on Christ that we build our lives as disciples. It must be. And it is on Christ that this church must be built. Nothing else. Because anything else, any other material is unstable. There is this trend today. It's not new. It's probably been around for centuries, since the beginning of time, to get God out. And it creeps more and more into church. And I see it creeping more and more into church in general. Get God out. We cannot let that happen. That is our foundation. How do you get God out of a church? Well, get the Bible out. Because the Bible is God's words to us. It is God saying, this is how you do it. This is how you do your life. This is how you do church. This is how you make decisions in life based on these principles. Get that stuff out is what the world wants, is what many Christians want. And I see it creeping in more and more. A number of years ago, there was a trend that started in churches of doing away with Sunday night church, and we're just going to have small groups. And then they different names, life groups, small groups, whatever the case is. Some churches started that years and years and years and years ago. Many of them, the small groups, the life groups, fell apart. And now what? You start Sunday night church back up. People have just spent years not going to church on Sunday night. They don't want to go to church on Sunday night. But what happened to the small groups? Here's what happens a lot of times when you get a small group. People get together and they're in someone's home and it's warm and fuzzy and they want to fellowship. Fellowship is good. And the word for today is connect. We're just going to get into small groups so we can connect. There is no connection on this earth generated by man on this earth that is going to make anyone more godly. It is not going to disciple anyone to be more of a Christ-like disciple by connecting with someone over a cup of coffee. Can't believe I just said that, but it's true. It is the Word of God that we need. Whether we're in this big room, in a Sunday school room, in a small group, in our discipling room, or in someone's home, if the Word of God is not there, we're wasting our time if we think we're becoming better disciples without the Word of God as the foundation of why we're meeting. It's the material. The material of the foundation is so important. So let's consider the foundation of discipleship is obedience. Verse 46 again of Luke 6, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? There is no substitute for obedience. There is no rationalization for disobeying God. There are no excuses for disobeying God. There are no, God's word says this, well, yeah, but there isn't any. A person who wishes to be a follower of Christ, then they do what Jesus says. If they consistently ignore what Jesus says in his word, they are not a follower. Now, I use the pronoun they, okay? And they, whoever this they group of people, you know, like, well, they say, they say when you're preaching or speaking, you should use the pronoun they so you don't sound offensive. But let's just strip that out, okay? If you are consistently not following and obeying what Christ says, you are not a follower of Christ. Because that's what Christ is saying here. Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? And it's not a matter of we make mistakes, yes, but someone who is consistently ignoring what they know God's word has says. And since I'm preaching to us this morning, myself included, let's just talk to us, not this fictitious person outside these walls. We sit in here week after week, month after month, and we hear what God's word says about this thing in our life, and we consistently ignore it, rationalize it, excuse it, justify it. Christ said, you are not a follower of Christ. Even if you teach Sunday school, even if you stand here, a follower of Christ obeys Christ. That's one of the ingredients of the foundation. I want you to notice here that both builders that Jesus gave us in the metaphor, Okay, one built the house that stood, the other one didn't stand. Both called him Lord. And both are known as followers of Jesus. So that's everyone in here. Some call Jesus Lord. And those of you that are here regularly, I'm not going to pick on visitors, so I'm excluding you this morning. All your friends, your family, your neighbors know you go to Grace Baptist Church, okay? You're known to be a follower of Jesus. And Jesus rebukes and warns anyone who calls him Lord and doesn't do what he says. Folks, a profession of words is not enough. A profession that is spoken earnestly and loudly and often, including Facebook posts about how wonderful your church is, it's not enough. Christ asks, why do you not do the things which I say? And he's bringing it very pointedly down to that right there. Now, why is this dangerous anyway? Profession without obedience. Here's why it's dangerous for the individual. Profession without obedience gives a false sense of security. I say, Lord, Lord, I say, Jesus. I have Facebook posts, religious Facebook posts on my Facebook page. I go to church. But there's not obedience. But that's okay. I do all these other things. False sense of security. Christ is asking, why don't you do the things which I say? It causes a person to feel like he is acceptable to God when he's not. Look at verse 47 with me and 48 again. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock. When the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Here's our second point. A true disciple lays a genuine foundation. Folks, we are building. As I said in the beginning, every person is building, and how we build our lives determines our eternal destiny. Christ instructs us how to build. A man hears and follows, obeys the instructions that we find in his word, or a man hears and rejects, disobeys the instructions. But we're still building. One is building the way God says to build. The other one is building the way it makes sense to him. This is what feels right to me. This is what I think is the best for me and my house or my family. The instructions, the words of Christ, those are the materials which determine the structure of our foundation. Our lives, our destiny, depend on how we respond to the sayings of Christ and what we're going to do with it. So we are building, but the foundation needs to be deep. It tells us that in verse 48. The wise man, he digged deep. In the building trade, this is what you would call the footing. Okay, that's way down underground. Now, back about a year ago, I replaced the shed that the tornado decided to take from me back several years before that. And I finally replaced that thing. Now, because I don't like to pay any more taxes necessary, there is no foundation under that thing at all, okay? For one, it's a lot of work because I'm a DIY kind of guy. Do it yourself. I would have been out there with a shovel hacking through the loamy topsoil. No, there's no loamy topsoil. 3 inches, and then it's hard clay that you're chopping through, trying to dig through. And you've got to go deep. You've got to get down below the frost line for the footing. That's it. It's hard work. But that, I'm so glad my house is on a footing. Because if it wasn't, it would be doing what my shed's doing right now. And when I started, I built the wooden platform, okay, just the way the YouTube video said, okay? And I've got that platform built, and then I built the shed on top of it, and it was beautiful. And now, it's like, how is that happening? You know, the back half of the shed, I know, it's mine subsidence, right there. There was one little tiny tunnel they built down below, and that's where it's collapsing right now. It's just off a few inches, okay? I'm so glad my house is on a footing, because my house would be doing that if it wasn't on a sure footing and if it wasn't deep. The best footing in the building trade is a rock. Base, solid rock. Get down onto that. It requires more effort to get down that deep, but it's the best foundation. So the builder has to deliberately choose the most secure foundation, or what does the builder do? Like I did in the case of my shed. This is good enough. So he digs. And he digs deep. Good enough is not good enough, because he wants to be absolutely sure the foundation is solid. Now that takes time and effort. Why would he do this anyway? Because it's his house. And he wanted to be absolutely sure and secure that his house was going to withstand whatever life brought at it. But something else. Christ is the only foundation upon which we can build and structure our lives. That's the rock. 1 Corinthians 3:11 again. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The true disciple stands because his life is built on Christ. It stands as well. Notice both the builders in that metaphor. Storms came on both houses. What the metaphor calls storms. Sickness, sin, temptations, suffering, disappointments, stress, death, complaints, mistreatments. There is no other foundation that can withstand these storms. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, it says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." There's the obedience thing. When a person accepts Christ, here's what happens. They become one of his adopted children. And he accepts us. I have a family member right now that's in the process of adoption. And we're hoping by this Christmas, maybe next Christmas. Here's what we do know. That we've already accepted that little girl. Already. And when she actually comes to us, to her future favorite papa she doesn't even know exists yet, he's going to accept her, and it doesn't matter what country she's from, what color her skin is, or what physical disability she may have. This papa accepts her as is. That's what happens when we accept Christ. God says, I've got another child. And he accepts us as is. Thankfully, because if you put me on the adoption list for God to pick, okay, I wouldn't be high up on that list. With my issues and my problems, y'all are smiling. I know your issues and problems too, okay? None of us would get picked. But he accepts us. That's the beautiful thing about this picture of adoption that God uses in his word. He accepts us as his children. And then in Ephesians 1 verse 5 and 6 says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Oh, there's that concept there, John 14, 6. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. Ephesians 1, 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. It has to be through Christ, folks. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Then, as one of his children, which I am now adopted, if we put him first, okay? If we put him first, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the discipling process, the learning and growing to be more like Christ and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. And God promises to work out all storms for good to those who are building wisely on the right foundation. Romans 8:28, you're familiar with that verse, right? All things work together for good. That's a phrase from a verse that everyone likes to quote. It's just become kind of a thing in the world. All things work together for good. It'll work out okay. Oh, first of all, they need to know the whole verse. All things work together for good to them that love God. What does Jesus say? How does a person show their love for God? Obedience to God. Luke 11:28 tells us that God blesses those who hear the word and keep it. And he promises joy in the process of all of that. One other thing to consider, a false disciple lays a counterfeit foundation. Now, this is the opposite side of that metaphor, okay? Luke 6, verse 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, like my yard shed, okay? Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Now, thankfully, I don't live near any streams, so I think my shed is safe. But I remember when that tornado came through Taylorville, it came right up through our backyard. All the windows in the back of our house were broken out. We were gone at the time on a ladies' shopping trip. I was the bus driver, not a participant. And and we got back to Taylorville, and it was a nightmare, okay? Came to the church, dropped the ladies off. We jumped in our car, my wife and I did. We managed to get to our neighborhood and into it because our neighborhood was a mess. And we actually got to our house, and I looked. My house was there. That's a good thing. I looked across the street. The lady across the street, her roof was gone. In fact, the house is gone today. They just tore it down. In my backyard, we went to the house, and our two dogs, poor little things, don't you feel bad for them already? They were huddled in the laundry room, which is in the back of the house, under a table. The windows were broke. We got leaves and shingles in our house from the wind as a tornado came up through our backyard. And And then I went into the backyard to check. Of course, there's limbs down. And my shed, my beautiful shed, it was demolished. It was right next to the back of my house. It wasn't on a foundation. It wasn't secure. My house was fine. The roof was fine. But the shed wasn't on a foundation. This false disciple, what he has looks like a house. So that could be any of us here. We're in church on Sunday. We're all cleaned up, nice and religious looking, maybe even carrying that Bible into church. Okay? Or if you're all electronic now, how do you do that? How do you show people you're carrying your Bible when it's on your phone? I don't know, pull up your Bible app and walk like this? Instead of tucked under your arm, you know, whatever. His house looked like a house. He looked like a follower of Jesus. His foundation, I guess, looked good, but let's back up to how he built the foundation. He hears Christ's words, according to Christ himself. He hears Christ, but does not do what he says. Okay, now that could be some of us. The false disciple ignores what Christ says. In other words, you know, because it's not, you weren't born yesterday. Your parents ever say that to you? You think I was born yesterday? You weren't born yesterday. That the meaning of that is, you know what the Bible says about certain things, but instead you cut corners. The false disciple ignores what Christ said, applies his energies elsewhere, okay? Because, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I'm too busy. He doesn't think about the consequences of not doing what God's word says. He thinks good enough is good enough. He's like a builder. He does build a house. He hears the instructions of the master builder, whether it's through church, sermons, parents, a book he has read, friends, preaching, whatever the case is. He's heard how it's supposed to be done. He's been told how to build, and he knows where to build, but he doesn't dig. Now, why wouldn't you dig for a foundation? Well, the same reason I didn't dig for my shed. It's a lot of work. How foolish, though, to build a house and not dig. Well, why doesn't the builder dig? It's time-consuming. Absolutely. Yes, taking it from the metaphor into where Christ intended to apply this. Studying God's word, knowing what it says, and how we should build our lives is time-consuming. But if you're going to build a house and you've never built one before, or you're going to renovate a basement, or you're going to add an addition, and you know all the information you need to do it right is on YouTube, but you're not going to take the time to watch the videos because it's just going to take too much time. That builder fails to consider the future. He'd rather be doing something else than studying his Bible. So, as a result, he lays no foundation. What a tragedy. He knew better, but he ignored the master builder's instructions week after week, day after day, year after year. He heard and he heard, yet he never followed the instructions on how to build his life. And what happens? His house falls. His life collapses. The storms come. And they can't be stopped, folks. And the house without a foundation cannot stand. Our work, our life will be tested. Yes, on earth it will be tested, but it will also be tested in eternity. Here's what God says in 1 Corinthians 3:13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. It'll all be revealed. In other words, this is how Gerald lived his life. These are all the YouTube videos he watched about building and being a disciple of Christ. This is everything he knew, and this is what he didn't do. And he chose to cut corners here or cut corners there. That's what that means. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The man who built his house upon sand has to face Christ in that day. Now here's the warning, folks. Okay? And this is where I've struggled to try to figure out a way to impress on you the importance. You're here right now again. Some of you have been here again and again and again and again for years and years and years. And you've heard God's word year after year after year after year. And then you get up and leave. And you ignore it. Okay. That's your choice. Because you're in charge of your life. I get that. And you'll make your own decisions. I get that. And you're convinced, because of whatever other influences you've had in your life, that, well, I know God's word says this, but this is sufficient. This is okay. Okay, you make all those choices you want today. But God's word says, 1 Corinthians 3:13, that you will stand before God. And everything you've built on this life here is going to be just ripped open. And the futility of it will be exposed. You will have to face Christ. You can fool everybody in this room, but you can't fool Christ. This kind of disciple is clinging to a false trust. In fact, I guess I'll say it. You may want to consider, are you even a disciple of Christ? Are you even saved? Why do you call me Lord if you're not going to do what I say? In the book of James, it says, show me thy faith without thy works. I'll show you my faith by my works. It says, wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead, being alone. A false sense of security. Because his faith and his trust are in the wrong things. He's trusting his own understanding of what he thinks a Christian should be like, instead of going to what the master said. What does it say in Proverbs? Lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. The false disciple will trust in his riches. He'll trust in his own heart. But yet Jeremiah 17:9 says, your heart is so deceitful and wicked, you can't trust it. Okay? He trusts in his own understanding. He trusts in his sin. He trusts in his wisdom. He trusts in man. All of his friends agree with him that this is acceptable Christian behavior. The pastor's just, he's just a little zealous on some things. If it's what the Bible says, it doesn't matter who says it. Jeremiah 17:5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." The person who builds upon the sands of this world of sin shall fall. It says in Proverbs 11:5, "The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness." Folks, I don't want you to fall. I don't want the consequences. I don't want you to have the consequences of continuing to build your life on the wrong foundation or no foundation at all. And Jesus is pointing out to us here through this metaphor today, if you want to be a genuine disciple, there needs to be obedience. Yeah, we're all going to make mistakes. We will until Christ returns. But are you okay with the mistakes that you make? That's different from someone who sins and it bothers them. That's a disciple. Because they're going back to the Word and their foundation says, this was wrong, this was wrong. The other person sins and it doesn't bother them because their foundation says, no problem, good enough. Folks, let's not be good enough in our discipleship. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this metaphor. I thank you for the truth that we get from this. But God, we need your help doing this one. This is hard. We have to face the truth here. And God, I believe only your Spirit can show us in our heart what our real foundation is. Maybe some, they don't have you at any part of their foundation. They need to trust you as Savior. They need to come to you for confession and repentance of their sins in order to receive that forgiveness. But God, I suspect that there's many of us here this morning that what we've built has been good enough. God, shake us from that. Move us from that point. In Jesus' name, amen.